Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here is your host of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
And we're back. Exciting full house tonight. Millennial Dentist Podcast, everyone.
Solid One Dental Partners.
Studio 1C.
Studio 1C.
You know, it's been a minute since we've live recorded. I've been on vacation and...
Sully being a total millennial took off for 2 weeks to South Africa.
Yeah, Doc, I've been in South Africa for 2 weeks. I just got back, so...
That's what I heard, man. I'm impressed.
I'm just getting off, like a good back my jet lag.
That's how he learned his new hairstyle, too.
That's how they do in South Africa.
So I'm trying to decide if that's a man bun or a samurai.
That's what my dad calls it. My dad goes, he goes, I don't care what you do with your hair as long as it doesn't affect your ability to sell treatment or do treatment. He's like, as long as you can do those things, that you can do your hair.
Is that OSHA approved?
I'm having like a midlife, young life crisis. I don't know. I kind of want a man bun.
Millennial
right now it's a
crisis.
Samurai bun. Anyways, Dr. Jason Campbell in the house. We got Holsinger, Pavin, the whole crew. Doc, introduce yourself live from Prescott, Arizona. Super excited to have you on. Kind of introduce yourself and give us some feedback on kind of what you do. Let's just jump into this.
All right. Sounds good. I'm Dr. Jason Campbell. I graduated from Virginia Commonwealth University back in 2003. So I've been in practice almost 15 years coming up and grew up in Ogden, Utah. Left there. Haven't spent a lot of time there since leaving. But I landed myself here in Prescott about 12 and a half years ago. Just doing my thing. You know, it's kind of a funny area out here. I know you guys know Dr. Mark Costas, kind of a mecca for innovation and stuff. So a lot of fun things come out of Prescott and a lot of good guys to be around. But, you know, my background is mostly in prosthetics. I wanted to be a prosthodontist when I went to dental school. And, you know, fortunately, the faculty who were all disgruntled with their job talked me out of going that route. But it's never changed my passion for it. And so kind of like Dr. Payray there, my continuation of that pursuit has been, you know, in the continuing education portion of education in dentistry and in clinical experience. So that's a big part of my practice, surgical prosthetics. It's a general practice, but we kind of focus in a little bit of a different area than I would say most practices do. But it has more to do with patient attraction and recognizing the type of dentistry that we want to do versus, you know, it's hard for me to describe in a very easy way what exactly it is that we're trying to accomplish and the patient base that we're looking for. But I guess that's why I'm here today is to kind of explain some of that.
Well, exactly. Because I feel like, I have kind of two questions. Is one, I want to hear, when did you venture into ownership and building this practice and kind of that sort of thing? And then twofold, you know, I feel like most dentists, we tend to build a practice and then we open the door and see what comes in. Versus, you know, it sounds like you've kind of built your practice in a way to attract a certain type of patient or to do a different type of dentistry that is different than letting the dentistry dictate you almost.
You know, I got to be honest with you guys. I think that's something that evolves a little bit over time. You know, you guys talk about being millennial dentists, and I remember when we ran into each other at Voices of Dentistry, you know, your podcast focuses on, you know, what can you do to make the connection between the millennials who are graduating and connecting with doctors who are out in practice and helping, you know, doctors to see the value of what you guys have to offer. And here's, you know, one of the things I expressed to you then, and I continue to express it, is there are some areas I think that you younger graduates are coming out with leaps and bounds with more available to you than we had. Most of you guys coming out of school right now, I am finding are much more savvy with business ideas, marketing ideas, communications. And for us old geezers, I mean, I'm 45. I hate to think that I'm in the old class of dentists. I think I'm somewhere in the middle.
You're probably a Gen Xer. You're probably not a baby boomer. You're in the cool crowd still.
Oh, good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You've gotten the millennial seal of approval, all right?
No judging.
You know, it's funny. If it makes you feel any better, I've got a true blue millennial living at my house. He's 19 years old and
yes.
Trying to kick him out into the world and make him go get life figured out.
Yeah.
But he does have a YouTube channel.
That's awesome.
No, so, you know, for me, it's, you know, if you think about everything that a doctor's up against right now coming out of school, you know, the learning curve is steep. And it's steep on both ends. For the guys who've been at it for a while, this age of marketing and business management and looking at yourself as a CEO of your practice, not just a hired dentist of your practice. You know, a lot of aging dentists are going to have to learn how to become more savvy in those arenas. We are being forced to learn to compete with a younger generation who understands how social media works, how, you know, marketing tools, video editing and all that stuff in order to be savvy in those arenas. You guys, on the other hand, are, you know, young and fresh coming out of dental school looking for opportunities to become more clinically savvy as far as, you know, skill sets and ability to offer services to your patients. And so I think there's a Mary there in the middle somewhere. And over the course of time, it's only been in the last 6 years since we've developed the Advanced Prosthetics Institute that I've really had to go back and almost get a second education. And, you know, well, you got a message, you want to share it with people, but how do you get it out to them? And, you know, I've got a great marketing team who helps me do that. Half the time, I still don't know what they're talking about, but I give good direction. So I'm good at delegating what I need done, and then, you know, I use them for their skillful efforts in making that message reach people. So I would say early on in my practice, I took a little bit different path. I knew, you know, going to school out in Virginia, I wasn't looking to go back to my home community. At that time, Ogden wasn't a super great place to go back to. Had a lot of economic issues and some gang problems, things like that. The downtown area was kind of headed in a downward spiral. So we were looking at other options. So when I was in dental school,
advanced prosthetics going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely had its upscale community. I just think it was my own personal impression. I'd give anything, you know, other than the effort to do it. to go back there now, I mean, it's an amazing area, man. They've done some huge things to turn the economics, the downtown area around. And I mean, I'd live there in a heartbeat now. But at that time, I wasn't looking to go back there, which would have been, you know, I would have had some connections. So I was looking around. While I was in school, I took a part-time weekend job with a dentist who needed some weekend help, being a dental assistant. And as a result of having that employment, I knew that I would stay and work for him for a little while after I graduated. Having that allowed me to get in-state tuition, which made a huge difference. Yeah. So they helped me in that process. But I knew that I didn't want to make a move until I knew where I was going. And I didn't want to go where I was going until I knew what I wanted to do. And so I started off working for a doctor, you know, in Virginia. And he had a busy practice. He bought the practice from a retiring doctor. We were carrying a lot of insurance types that he didn't want to continue with. So he needed an opportunity to scale back his practice, get rid of some of the insurances he wasn't interested in. Hired me. I worked for him for a year. After that, I worked for a doctor who had gotten sick and they needed help keeping the practice running until they could get it sold. So I went in and did that as well. Then I got hired by one of the dental companies out there that had three practices that had lost doctors and had been sitting. And they hired me just kind of as an external person to come in and manage the emergency patients, the problem patients, to kind of clean that up to make it more attractive for a newer doc to come in and start running those facilities. So I did that for a little while. And while I did that, in fact, probably one of the more important things that I did is I hired myself out as a temp. And I got into as many dental practices as I could to see what they were doing and how they were doing it. And what that exercise really did for me is it kind of showed me the type of dentistry that I didn't want to do and the business models that I didn't want to pursue. You know, I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth like you, Sully, you know, with five generations.
Thank you.
And it's in the family and a practice to slide.
It's say somebody's got to do it, you know.
So I didn't have many mentors and I didn't have a lot of models. I kind of had to make them as I went. And that was a big exercise for me. And it gave me a lot of ideas about what I wanted to do. So I bought an existing practice and transitioned myself into it. We had a 3-week transition for the retiring doctor on his way out, running a great practice, a nice clean practice, was doing a lot of referring out on surgery and prosthetics and things like that. And so it was a great practice for me to step into and immediately add value. And I think that's key for you guys when you're looking for a practice, is you got to find a way to add value to what currently exists there. Otherwise, you know, that allowed me to acquire the practice, maintain the overhead, but with the added value, it gave me an income source, you know, that I was able to keep doing what the selling doctor did, but yet cover my salary on top of that by the added
procedures.
Did you purchase the practice, the transition? How long were you doing the temp before?
It was that process from graduation to the time I bought was about a year and 10 months.
That's pretty good.
Just under 2 years. I went from having student loan debt to being like $1.6 million in debt in one day. My wife went to Utah to have our third child. I went to Prescott, Arizona to close on the practice and buy a house. And back in those days, you could get money anywhere.
Right? Well, and I love your point. That's a big thing we harp on a lot of is when people go into practices and we hear a lot of times from associates who, like, they get into a job and they're like, well, shoot, there's not enough work. And it's like, well, have you thought about trying to bring something to the table that they're not doing? Make yourself valuable. Like there's tons of CE out there that can add stuff that most of these solo doctor practices that are, you know, producing a million or whatever, aren't doing everything, you know, it's hard for them to do as a solo doctor.
Exactly. They're referring a lot of it out. You know, you'll find your cadence when you're in practice, the things that you like and the things that you don't, the things that you're good at, the things that you aren't. And that's the nice thing about specialties is the stuff that you really don't love. It's easy to refer it out as long as you're cracking the nut and, you know, covering your overhead. And so there's an opportunity there. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think one of the greatest opportunities for your generation is in assisting doctors in the knowledge on how to grow a practice, you know, just for marketing and social media and making that stuff work. You guys don't realize, I think that is an actual skill set. If you've taken the time to figure that stuff out, that is an added value going in because you can create creating a marketing and awareness program that may not exist in the practice currently. You can do some target marketing, attract people to services that you have the ability to provide that maybe the existing dentist isn't interested in. And you can really add value and bring those services in an arena where they weren't there before.
Now let's talk about the value that you thought that $1.6 million was going to bring to you. Like, what did you see that practice that you purchased was not doing? And tell about kind of like transition to who you are right now. Because I think that's pretty connected, right? To what you do right now based on what you decided to do back in the day.
Yeah. Now remember, I did not pay $1.6 million for my practice. That was practice debt and house debt. Those two things occurred at the same time. So, you know, one of the things I recognized in the doctor who was retiring, he ran a very tight ship. He recognized what services optimized his chair time. And he kind of channeled his practice to doing that stuff that optimized the value of his chair. So he was referring out endo. He was referring out oral surgery. He wasn't doing any kind of removable. He was kind of a drill and fill, crown and bridge practitioner. Everything outside of that was being referred just due to efficiencies, right? Well, I knew that in that practice that there was a gold mine for the stuff that I was interested in. You know, people who had need for rehabilitation or need for reconstruction that just was untapped. And that probably fueled me for about 3.5 years, just tapping what was already in the practice. You know, early on, I was kind of a late comer to the whole, you know, quote, end quote, cosmetic dentistry phase. And, you know, I knew I wanted to do larger cases, rehabilitative type cases. And back in that time frame, you know, the catchphrase was cosmetic dentistry, cosmetic smile makeovers. And it didn't take me long to realize that that's not the kind of dentistry that I really love. I really love needs-based dentistry. People who are at a point where they really need to do something or they're going to lose everything or they've lost everything and they need it back. So that's about the time when we kind of changed our direction and when the Advanced Prosthetics Institute was developed. And that kind of changed our focus to where we're at right now is I knew in my mind the type of dentistry I wanted to do. I just wasn't sure how to reach those patients in a way that was meaningful to me and meaningful to the practice. And so I wanted to do rehabs. I wanted to do, you know, more complex dentistry. And so we developed a marketing plan to begin attracting patients with those care needs. At the time I did that, I realized that there was a clinical skill set there that I needed to enhance a little bit. And when we started that whole process, you know, surgery really wasn't even on the table for me. In fact, I was developing software to communicate better with medical specialists and dental specialists so that we care and treatment plan better together on complex cases.
Top of medical specialty you're talking about.
So that kind of comes down to what our care philosophy is. It's based on what we call biofunction. Biology and functionality. And we can kind of delve into that at this phase if you'd like. I can explain to you what that means. If you think about the patients, say you were setting out and you wanted to develop a marketing plan to attract patients who need surgery, whether it's implants or grafting or alveoplasty, even, you know, wisdom teeth or just any kind of surgery that you want to do. Or say you wanted to build your general practice, or you wanted to build your reconstructive practice. You got to sit down and think about, okay, well, where are we going to find those patients? And one, if we find them, how are we going to make them recognize us as opposed to every other dentist around? Right. So this is kind of the path that we went through. This was our developmental process in developing how we were going to create a marketing plan. You know, the next thing that we had to kind of think about is, you know, I'm a general dentist basically performing specialty services. Do we go to the community to find these people? Do we ask for referrals from other general dentists? Do we, you know, how do we go about that? Well, I don't know any dentist in their right mind that would look at their patient and say, hey, by the way, a general dentist friend down the street does this way better than me, and he's got a really nice office. Would you like to go over and have him take a look at this, but yet continue to be my patient? I would never refer under circumstances like that. But the challenge is you're marketing in the same arena as every other dentist around you. It comes down to, you know, it comes down to differentiation. In fact, I'll tell you, I was just down at Midwestern University speaking to a group of dental students. Some of them are just getting ready to graduate. It was probably broken up into about 25%. I think we had about 50 students. A quarter of those were ready to graduate. A quarter of them were third years. A quarter of them were second. A quarter of them were first. But we spent a lot of time talking about adding value and differentiation now as they're getting ready to go into the field. But that never stops. Like, even after you're in practice, you still have to be thinking in those terms because, you know, right now, if you think about the way we, you know, dental marketing typically happens, we market on the services that everybody's providing, you know, whitening, let's, you know, get your sealants, let's do your fillings. Hey, we're the nicest practice in town and we're going to help you overcome your fears. And, you know, we're all marketing to the same patient base with the same stuff. So after that, it's going to come down to like good looks, whoever has the cutest staff members, stick them up on a billboard and hide your ugly face. Or anyways, it just becomes a challenging marketing process. But let's look at it like this, guys. I'm going to put you on the spot here, and I want to see which one of you guys can answer this question the best.
Ooh, it's good.
What is the only thing that causes tooth decay?
Bacteria.
Right? As dentists, we don't even answer this question.
I asked. Well, bacteria is what I said.
You got bacteria that's out there.
Substrate, okay? I would say tooth.
Okay, tooth causes cavities.
Poor oral hygiene.
All right. So to kind of tie all three of those together, the only thing that causes tooth decay is acid. Your bacteria can...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah, your bacteria converts sugar to acid.
That was fall second year.
Yeah. My cariology is a little short these days.
Yeah, right. So poor oral hygiene. So, you know, what we decided was, all right, well, we know that acid causes tooth decay. And we see these patients that come in with really severely deteriorated mouths. And we know that there's an acid connection there. So why don't we go where we find those patients who are suffering with acid problems? And so you know, we start looking at gastroenterologists, ear, nose, and throat specialists. Well, so here's something else that I've realized over the course of time, and part of this was from a very extensive personal issue with these problems. It took me a lot of years to get it figured out for myself. But there's a direct connection between people who suffer with TMJ symptoms, chronic facial pain, and chronic headaches, and having systemic acid problems, like digestive acid problems. And so if you wanted to, you know, attract more TMJ patients, well, your acid patients are going to be the best source of that. But if you want to, treat TMJ, guys, I mean, there's a lot of places in the country where you can go and get hands-on experience. They'll teach you how to treat occlusal disorders. They'll teach you how to equilibrate. They'll teach you how to manage pain of jaw pain and facial pain, right? Well, there is this huge underlying contributor that nobody's made the connection on. Nobody's using it as a treatment source. And so these jaw pain patients and these facial pain and headache patients continue to have trouble in some instances.
So we're just treating symptoms.
Yeah. And even after you've corrected their bite and you've got them in centric relation and you've got all their movements from centric, you know, pinned down, they continue to have symptoms because, you know, the problem with bruxism, you know, pathologic clenching or grinding, is that it depletes muscle resources. It depletes glycogen. It depletes the calcium and the potassium. It increases the development of lactic acid, which increases inflammation.
Wow, right.
And basically in most TMJ headache problems, it's muscular in nature. It's a soft tissue problem. It's very rarely capsular and very rarely, you know, deformations of the actual joints. Usually it's just a matter of calming the attack on the musculature, right? So if you can stop what's fatiguing the muscles, say the pathologic clenching or grinding, or the malocclusions that keep the muscles working all the time.
Right.
If you could control those elements, basically you can quiet the muscle, you can quiet the development of the inflammation, you can quiet the acidity. That's kind of what we're doing when we're treating occlusal disorders, right? Well, if somebody has a digestive issue with acidity or a systemic inflammation problem, and we're not doing anything to control that acid on top of the lactic acid from parafunction is what really adds insult to injury to the musculature. And so the principles that we teach, or we call that patient somebody suffering with a biofunctional disorder, meaning some of the disorder is biology and some of the disorder is functionality. And so you can really break down this category of patient into three patient types. You have your patients that have pure biomechanical problems and force distribution problems. Then you have this other category of patient where it's just they're suffering with acid problems. I mean, you guys look at these patients, you see the acid erosion, you know, usually that acid in the musculature, it induces bruxism as well. You know, so they're grinding their teeth are being softened with the acid, and they're just wearing everything down and creating these big major problems, right? Collapsed dentition, you know, sometimes it's terminal dentition where they don't have any option but pull everything out and reconstruct them. So the third category of patient is the perfect storm, which is the ones who have the biomechanical issues and the systemic acid and inflammation problems. And those are the people who have high caries index. They have recession of their gum tissue and crestal bone loss that's non-periodontally induced. It's not disease-oriented, right? They have abfraction. They have wear facet, enamel crazing. They're breaking their dental work. Their dental work's falling out of their mouth because the acid's breaking down the chemical bonds. You know, so we're missing this huge important element that this acid role, whether it be oral acids or systemic acids, are creating in the mouth and in our patients. And eventually, you know, people get to the point where they give up on their dentist, they give up on their mouth, they give up on the dental work, and they become dental and medical refugees because they don't know where to go to get the help. Doesn't seem like going to the dentist is helping, and not going to the dentist isn't making that big of a difference. And so just tons of people like that. And so here's what it really comes down to. we attract patients who have biomechanical and acid problems. So who are they in the community and where are they? Well, they're at the chiropractor's office getting treated for jaw pain. They're at the ear, nose, and throat specialist getting treated for jaw pain and tinnitus. They are at the at the gastroenterologist being treated for acid issues. You know, sometimes they're at cancer therapy clinics because they've got dry mouth induced, you know, medication induced dry mouth or, you know what I mean? So we just kind of changed the way we were looking to attract the patients we want. And we started marketing in the areas that it mattered to bring us the patients that we want in a way that really differentiates us from anybody else in our area doing what we do. Now, in order to do what I do, you got to be willing to deal with the patients, you know, who may be suffering with jaw pain and headaches. You know, maybe, you know, maybe you're dealing with a patient with some gastric issues. You know, these patients are the ones in your office that's, they're like, they have a lot of food intolerances and allergies, and we think they're crazy because of all the little, you know, they don't want you to use fluoride and they don't want you to, they don't breathe the air in your office for fear that they're, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, they got the MTHR gene and they can't take nitrous or something.
Yeah, exactly. But look at it this way.
I respect all you people out there who don't have the gene. Just wanna
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah. But the problem is those issues are real. And a lot of what they're contending with is just systemic. It's an acid problem. You know, when people have acid problems, they have absorption problems. When they have absorption problems, they're not getting vitamin D, B complex vitamins, all of those nutrients that are needed in tissue repair. And they have these incidences where acid and inflammation are breaking down the tissue and they can't repair fast enough. So it just becomes this myriad of problems. So, you know, through the Advanced Prosthetics Institute, we've developed courses to give doctors the systems to begin attracting patients who will bring them the type of dentistry that they want to do, and giving doctors the skill set to manage them once they get there.
Dealing with the patients that are here that I have no idea how to deal with.
Dude, they're all over in every one of your practices. And man, we see this problem start even with little kids, by the way. You know, these digestive acid problems. And so, you know, it's as simple as doing two things, guys. Developing an oral acid neutralization protocol and a systemic alkalizing protocol to manage the systemic acid and inflammation. It's not complicated stuff, right?
Just neutralize the acidity, basically.
Yeah, just start to neutralize the problems. And it's a crazy that the things that you start to resolve, all these people that, you know, are self-diagnosed with fibromyalgia, all of a sudden the chronic fatigue starts to disappear, the joint pains, the achiness, and all of a sudden they're like going, man, it was my dentist who figured this out for me. And it's not rocket science. It's pretty simple, straightforward stuff when you have the right protocols for people to use. And now it's like you've become their hero and they tell all of their friends, this is where you go. Oh, you got jaw pain? Yeah, you need to go see your doctor. And by the way, when they get there, they need a full mouth rehab, or they're missing multiple teeth because they rotted away due to tooth decay, or now you're doing implants. And instead of just doing gum line fillings that are going to fall out, you know, in 3 weeks, you're controlling the acid. Now you're looking to correct the occlusion. You're looking to correct the gum line through surgery. Now you're doing implants. Now you're doing prosthetic reconstructions. And it just changes the face of your practice by just looking at a couple of things. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. And I don't know that I've shared this anywhere. So you guys are going to get it first outside of our course.
Heck yeah. Yes.
I've decided, and I challenge anybody to really put this to the test. There's essentially three things that cause, in my opinion, all dental problems, but I'm going to give myself a little leeway space by saying it causes 99% of all dental problems.
That's respectful.
Three things, right? In case somebody happens to think of one thing that doesn't fall into these categories. And here's what they are. Jaw biomechanics and force distribution problems.
Okay. It's like occlusion type things.
And orthognathics, the way your jaws, teeth, and muscles are interacting, right?
So the body destroying itself, basically, kind of to a degree.
Wear and tear problems.
Yep, okay. Okay, fine.
The second is oral and systemic acidity.
All right.
It causes tooth decay. It induces the pain that we see with jaw pain and headaches, right? Mm-hmm. It breaks down our dental materials. It weakens them. And then the third thing is oral and systemic inflammation. Periodontal disease is an inflammatory. If I asked you what causes gum disease, you'd say bacteria. It's not. It's the inflammation that ensues as a result of the bacteria, right?
He's probably right. Yeah.
So acid causes cavities.
We would have Googled it. We're millennials.
What's that?
We would have Googled it. We're millennials.
Just ask Siri.
Yeah.
Alexa.
So our biggest challenge right now is with inflammation is periodontal disease and peri-implant disease. Peri-implantitis is an inflammatory reaction, right? So outside of those three things, there really aren't any other things that cause tooth decay.
Trauma or the decay. Yeah, decay didn't cause trauma yet.
Okay, so yeah, other than blunt trauma, all right, that'll account for the other 1%.
That was what I was thinking of.
Somebody falls off their mountain bike and now you got to re-implant their tooth, right? All right, so if that's the case, if we can make an argument that those are the three things causing the vast majority of dental problems, then we can't be the type of dentists that are limiting our practice to just reactively treating, cavities, tooth problems associated with cavities, and gum disease. You know, our patients are walking into our practice and you're looking at gum line abfraction, and we're telling them, hey, by the way, you're brushing your teeth too hard. You got to start brushing in circles. Man, the sooner we can put that to bed, that they're not brushing their teeth the wrong way. I mean, imagine what their gums would look like if that was the case. It'd be hamburger, like they'd be shredded and like falling out of their mouth. That's a bigger problem. But say biomechanical flexural force that's just flexing that tooth, and that force is coming from somewhere. There is a very big problem in dentistry. We're treating tooth decay and we're treating gum disease. The vast majority of us in our practices are ignoring the early signs of biomechanical wear and tear. And we're completely ignoring medical conditions that are adding to the complications of the mouth, including tooth decay and gum disease. We're just ignoring it completely. We don't really have systems built to help us fight that. But I can promise doctors that attend our course that if they have any interest at all in treating patients with TMJ, addressing the acid will help them with 99% of TMJ problems. If all you're addressing is occlusion, you're going to tackle maybe 60% and get those people to help and get it to stop hurting. But if you continue to ignore the acid, it's just going to continue on.
What I see it in, you know, we just started dealing with sleep apnea recently, you know, starting to look at like the systemic part of that. And like, we're now backtracking on people we've made night guards for just to be like a blunt object in their mouth that they destroy, versus like ignoring the fact that this person's not breathing half the time. To the reason they're clenching and grinding at night is because they're not breathing, you know? And like, it's just, you start realizing how many much more systemic stuff's going on than just the symptoms you're treating.
Can I take that one step further for you? This is going to be like one of those mind blowing moments.
Yeah, do it. I love it.
So the problem with sleep apnea, obviously, is it creates systemic issues. It causes cardiovascular problems. Here's why. It decreases oxygen saturation levels. Well, when oxygen saturation levels drop, you have something begin that's called respiratory acidosis. You know, your body has to get rid of the carbon dioxide the carbon dioxide that's building up in the system. And it does that with bicarbonate. And when bicarbonate gets depleted, now all of a sudden you can't get rid of those ions the way that you should. And it creates a systemic acidity problem. Have you ever noticed how many sleep apnea people also suffer with TMJ pain? Well, think about what the acidity from respiratory acidosis does generally to musculature. It increases acidity, and the acidity increases inflammation, and both of those damage musculature. Any of you guys like to barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's Tennessee, baby. We all barbecue.
Yeah.
All right. Take this for example. What do you do with a tough piece of meat?
You beat it.
That's
everybody loves to beat their meat.
Smoke it for a long time.
Right? Yeah. You got to break down the fiber. Another thing you can do, you can add acid product. You can put lemon in it. You can put, something that's acidic to start breaking down the fiber, right? Well, the trauma, the acidity, it does the same thing to jaw musculature, which is always being used and therefore creates problems. And so, for me, sleep apnea is a big part of what we do because again, it relates back to the acid, right? It's an acid creator, not to mention what it's going to do with the rest of the body. And so the way that all plays out, guys, I mean, this is all really fun stuff to like talk about, but really what this practice approach does for people, it does two things. One, it makes us more comprehensive in our care to help our patients in a way that they're not receiving that help. But two, if somebody really wants to grow their business and differentiate what they're doing in their own eyes, in their staff's eyes, in their patients' eyes, and even more importantly, in the community, this thing is one of those things that will catapult a practice into just being amazing. So I'll give you an example, guys. And I don't like to get into like practice numbers a ton, but I'll tell you this. From the time we developed our protocols and developed our marketing system, 13 months into this thing, we were utilizing probably 30% of our marketing resources, and it doubled the production of my practice in 13 months. And I was a big practice before. Now we're a really big practice. And you know, what it did is it opened the door for me to bring in an associate, keep that associate busy. The practice is still in growth mode. We're looking to relocate and build. I need to increase the size of my facility. I probably need to bring on another practitioner here. I would say in the next 18 months, we're going to be in full need of new amenities and another provider.
Talk about the course. I wanted to get a little bit more information for our audience. Now, talk about the courses. How do you have it set up? How many continuum, didactic, hands-on?
So there's actually two courses that we teach, right? The first one that we're kind of talking about today is about biofunction. It's let me read it to you because I can't even. It's a system-based care approach to treating biofunctional disorders and complex dental medical issues. And we address all of those areas. But more importantly, we're teaching you how to do this stuff preventively every day in your practice. 80% of your patient base needs this care that you guys aren't providing. They're finding me to do it, right? So we have that course, and then we have a biofunctional approach to implant placement as well. Okay, you guys got to remember the reason that I do biofunction is because I want to do surgical prosthetics. So for our doctors who want to go down that route and they also want to get into surgery, we provide that as a resource and tool. Now, here's what differentiates our course from other implant courses. You guys have listened to me talk today, and I think that maybe I'm sharing some things you haven't ever heard anywhere else. Or maybe, my approach to implants is the same. And here's what I have to say about it. My frustration in the time that I put in trying to get educated on how to do surgery is that a lot of the courses are real heavy on just teaching you the mechanics of it. They're not really teaching you how to become a surgeon. Well, implants is the end result of surgery. Surgery is not the end result of implants. And so, you know, our course is one that will introduce a new doctor to the systems of implants, but our heavier emphasis is, well, how do you manage the patient? Dr. Payman, when you started doing implants, right? Your first case, you went into your office, did you have a mentor there to kind of help you through it? Or did you have somebody from an implant company come and be there for you?
I had both. I was fortunate to have both people. Yeah.
So you were fortunate. You were working in a setting where there were some experienced doctors. Correct. You had on-hand mentors, right?
Correct.
A lot of guys are out there, they don't have that. They've got to go back to their practice and they either have to pay a mentor to come. Usually what's happening is the implant guy selling them the system says, hey, let's get your first implant case together and I'm going to be in your office, right? I'm going to help you through it. So he shows up and you got everything out and you're ready to roll and you look at him and say, okay, now what do I do? And he's looking at you going, man, I don't know what you do. You're the doctor. I'm just here to like teach you my implant part.
This is the sequence of these drills.
And you're left. Well, okay. So how do you manage the tissue? You know, so a lot of doctors take the path that they're going to be doctors that place implants in prepared sites. All right. So that's what, 20, maybe 30% of opportunity. Well, you need to become a doctor who knows how to prepare the site. Right. And if you can't do that, then you're compromising the prosthetics. You're going to downsize your implant and shorten your implant to get the implant in there. not knowing that the prosthetics later on simply going to cause that to fail, because we're making compromises surgically.
Well, and unfortunately, most of the education out there is how to get a screw to stay in the jaw and integrate. But then, your response, you know, most implant courses don't teach you a lot of prosthetic down.
And which is, you know, implants is a prosthetically driven treatment. It has to be, you know, but it comes down to patient management. You know, what about medical complications? What about site preparation? How do we manage the tissue? When do we go for primary closure versus secondary closure? When do we graft? And if we do, what material do we use? What suture material do we use? And how do we suture? And we're really not learning that. You know, I know there's a lot of courses where people can leave the country because they want to get that hands-on experience and put in 100 implants, right? And then they walk away and say, man, I still don't know how to do surgery, but we put a lot of implants in. You know, so our surgical course, our implant course is about teaching doctors to do surgery. I don't care if you place one or 20 implants. If you can critically think your way through any scenario, you can manage the implant. My dental assistants can put the implants in.
Right. Yeah.
I truly believe that they could. I could teach them to do that part for me if I wanted to, if it was legal, obviously.
Sure.
And just to make sure everybody understands, I don't do that.
Well, no, I get that. I mean, I joke around all the time. Putting an implant in a nice site's easier than an MOD filling. I mean. You know, it's definitely, like you said, it's the stuff around it than the actual placement.
Yeah. But do you know how many implants I'm fixing in my practice now because the doctors didn't know how to improve the connective tissue in the area? They're putting implants in mucosa. And now I'm contending with the peri-implantitis and the failing implant. So those are all things you got to think about critically. You know, how do I manage the tissue? What about the blood? What about the bone? How do I get it closed for success? How do I reflect a flap? How do I release that flap? How do I, you know?
So how many days is the implant course? How many days is the biofunction course? And then cost of the courses? Obviously, you know, these kind of things. Give us all this information.
All right. Let me give you the breakdown. So our upcoming surgery course is August 3rd through the 5th. We actually, believe it or not, we're offering your listeners for about the next 6 weeks, we're offering them a discount to our courses.
Yes.
We have an early bird, but we actually have a code. Lori, what's our code for them?
Millennial DDS 2017.
I love it.
If they put in the code Millennial DDS 2017, there's a $150 discount on all courses.
Awesome. Nice.
For people who sign up for both courses at the same time, there's actually a 10% discount across the board. What is that one?
API 10 for two, and it comes out to about a $700 savings.
Yeah, for both of our courses. So our first course is August 3rd through the 5th. That's a three-day implant course. It's pretty intense. It's their long days. We're trying to keep it so doctors don't have to miss many days in practice yet get the maximum benefit. So it's not an 8-to-5-er. It's more like an 8-to-7, 3 days.
That, though.
It's intense. It's a lot going on. We feed you. It's a great, great course.
What's cool is that I have Arizona license too. I could actually be placing them.
So now, do they get to place them, or you aren't placing? They aren't placing implants.
For our doctors who are willing to either obtain a license in Arizona, or for our doctors who are licensed in the state of Arizona, we make provisions for implant placement.
Awesome. So there's an opportunity to do that. Yeah. Cool.
There's opportunity for hands-on. There's a lot of live surgeries where doctors are there. We've got a great facility with lots of...
Which, frankly, that's just as... I mean, being able to watch it right in front of you is just as good. Yeah.
And we're looking for multiple scenarios, not just teaching you how to put a single implant in. We're teaching grafting. We're teaching site development, ridge splitting,
awesome.
How to manage ridges, all that kind of stuff. So it's an awesome course. Our second course, which is our biofunction. It's a systems-based care approach to treating biofunctional disorders. That one's September 15th and 16th. It's a two-day course, and there's tons and tons of hands-on. So part of that's didactic, and then we move into the hands-on segments, and then we go back to didactic and then back onto hands-on. But really, we're teaching doctors how to manage acute and chronic TMJ patients. We're teaching them the principles of equilibration, treating occlusal disorders, but we're also teaching our doctors how to manage the acid and the inflammatory problems that are also adding to those issues. And so let's see, the cost of our implant course is $36.99. There is an early bird discount, or if you're a listener of the podcast, there's a bigger discount there.
That's not bad though.
Yeah. Yeah. We try
that
to
seems
make
like
it
a very reasonable for, yeah, for what you're getting out and that much days. Experience. Yeah.
It's about 20 hours of CE, and it's a great, great day.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. But the systems based, the biofunctional disorder course is $26.99. And that's a full 2-day course. Most courses similar to that, man, you're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of money to treat the stuff that we're tackling in a 2-day period in a very, very easy to understand way with support systems. So when you go back to your practice, you can still communicate with us through our forums. My staff's on hand, ready to help you. You have our BPS system that gives you all the resources to go back and get it set up and get started. I hate those courses that when you leave them and you go back, you have nothing to get started with except hours and hours of work to do.
Right. Yeah. Or, I mean, $3,600 for the person who hasn't taken an implant course and hasn't done an implant. I mean, that's going to be, they're going to get that back in their first like month of placing implants. Or, you know, I have no doubt that the 26, whatever for me to come down there and do the biofunctional is,
bifunctional.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Honestly, from just talking to you, I feel like just being there, listening to some of the marketing strategies and tips and tricks. I'm like, man, this is, I mean, they know.
Well, that's applicable to everything. That's what's so beautiful.
So there's a lot of cool stuff. I'm excited. I definitely, the problem is that I have signed up for Koi
Center. Do you know what your spring dates are going to be yet?
Right.
So we're working on our calendar for next year. We've had a lot on our plates with getting our new site and getting all these support materials available.
Sure.
We're working on our next year's calendar right now. We'll have 4 courses next year.
Okay, great.
2 of each of these as well. So you'll just have to go to advancedprostheticsinstitute.com. Kind of watch for events. You know, as you guys know, I partner with Dr. Costas with the Dental Success Institute. You know, Mark's specialty is a lot of, you know, practice management and business strategies, marketing strategies. What we do is kind of educate our doctors clinically how to add services to add value to practice growth. And so it really is a good partnership. And Dr. Costas, he's present at our courses as well. You know, talking about some of the business aspects and what he's seen happen with the changes in our practice to help doctors make those same kind of changes. So it's a real great partnership that we've got going as far as education. So,
well, guys, for a new graduate to get, or any dentist to get in front, that's a lot of, that's a lot of opportunity there in a weekend. That's great. So
it's the kind of stuff it'll change your practice overnight if you can just, one, grasp the concepts, go back with the tools to implement it, and then, you know, we can even walk people on how to develop a marketing team to make it happen for them. So it's a complete package. It's a system, and that's how it was designed, is to increase surgery in a practice, increase the prosthetic principles, yet treat the underlying problems in a preventive way. And so really, here's what it comes down to. This is kind of a cool thought. I'll leave this with you guys. In dentistry, we do about 2 types of treatment, preventive care and reactive care. We all want to do the reactive care because that's how we get paid. We do the preventive care because our hygienists come and get us and make us do it, right? But what we're introducing is something new. It's called interventive care. You know, there's interventionary medicine. We're recognizing problems that are happening currently, and we're intervening now, taking the revenue now and growing our practice with that philosophy instead of waiting for everything to develop into major catastrophic stuff that we don't know how to fix later, right? So preventive care, interventive care, and then when we have to, we treat reactively.
Doc, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they have questions or thoughts after all this?
All right. So you can go to our website for sure. In fact, I invite everybody to go there. There's a download there, a booklet that we've put together. It's called, what are we calling?
Laurie, what do we call this thing?
You guys have me in my clinical mindset all of a sudden.
That dang booklet.
Here's what it is. It's the blueprint of a dental black belt. And it kind of outlines these principles, how we work them in our practice, as far as the preventive, the interventive, and the reactive care, and these principles of acidity, inflammation, and biomechanics. So I encourage people to go there, click that. They can download that and have that copy. The third way, they can contact me personally at jcampbelldds@yahoo.com. Or they, in any of those interactions, I am happy to give out my personal phone number if they want an after-hours conversation to learn more about what we're doing, or Lori can reach out to us as well. But their best resource is AdvancedProstheticsInstitute.com is really their best resource to see who we are and what we're doing.
Well, perfect. We will link all that in the bio and description for everybody to see that.
I'm excited. This was a lot of cool stuff. This is very neat.
Well, I knew this was going to be fun from talking to you at Voices Industry.
Yes.
This was definitely kind of like, we both were like, huh. So appreciate your time, man. And I look forward to this. We'll do this again.
Awesome. You guys are going to go back to your practices tomorrow, and you're going to start looking at people entirely different after you're this conversation.
Right. I'm going to start doing acid dentistry.
Yeah. I shouldn't have drank that Mexican Coke.
No, I know, right?
Yeah.
You guys are awesome. It's been a great thing, man. I like your podcast. I really love what you're doing, especially for this gap. You know, it's making those connections and tying, you know, this new generation of doctors with connections out there for having mentorships.
We have a lot to learn from each other. You know, that's the beauty of this thing. So, well, all right, buddy. Work smarter,
not harder.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.